Well, good evening and welcome to Good Friday. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And tonight we come together to remember one of the greatest moments in history. Tonight we come together to remember one of the most powerful things that has ever happened in any one of our stories. To be able to remember one of the most beautiful things that has ever happened. Been done for us. And I know that typically when we walk into Good Friday, we walk into Good Friday with a somber tone. And some of you, even as I'm starting, are thinking, wait, you're way, way too happy for Good Friday. This is Good Friday. You're supposed to be sad today. This is the sad day. We get excited later. But here's the problem. We know too much of the story. Here's the problem. The problem is we know where this story's going. We know the larger story. We understand the bigger picture. And when you understand the bigger picture, when you understand the larger story, it has an incredible ability to change a moment. It has an incredible ability to change how you see a moment. You see, we're not just shaped by what we experience. We're actually shaped more by how we remember our experiences. The Nobel Peace Prize winner, Daniel Kahneman, he talks about this in his book, Thinking Fast and Slow. He's done a great deal of research in how our remembrance of a moment is actually more impactful than the moment itself. And our memory of a moment is impacted by all sorts of things beyond just the experience. And so there are moments in your life that were great, but when you think about them, you get sick. Some of you have been on tremendous first dates that you do not want to think of again because you know the larger story. And even thinking about that moment, even though the experience of the moment was very positive, even thinking about it makes you sick because you know where it led. You know how that turned out. It's why no one likes to watch Titanic again. You know where it leads. You know he dies. You know he could have easily fit on that raft with Rose. And the larger story drastically changes the experience, the moment. The same is true on the flip side. There are some really awful moments in your life that you look back on and sing about because you know what they led to. This past week, I had an interesting experience in my own life because through really random circumstances, I found myself on March 20th driving into Paterson, New Jersey. The morning of March 20th. Why that is strange is because as I was driving in, well, first of all, it's just strange to drive to Paterson, but outside of that, the other reason why it was strange is that as I was driving into Paterson, I realized the fact that I had actually driven that very same road exactly 7 years earlier. 7 years ago, on March 20th, I also was driving into Paterson, New Jersey, early in the morning. That day, I was following an ambulance. And in that ambulance was my newborn son. He had been born just a few hours earlier. The hospital in Hoboken didn't have the facilities needed to be able to care for a child with Down syndrome. And so they transferred him to Paterson. And I left Anna, my wife, at the hospital here, and I followed the ambulance. And last week, as we were driving into the city, it hit me that I was driving exactly the same route at almost the exact same time, exactly 7 years later. I began to get a little bit nervous as we approached the hospital. And the meeting that we were supposed to attend actually took us directly past the entrance to the hospital. And James was with me, and I began to talk to him about it because I was nervous of what I was going to experience. I was nervous of what I was going to feel. Do you have those places in your life where you go to a place and you feel something because of your experience there previously? I have several of those places in my life where I can go to a place and there's a feeling that's connected to it because I felt that feeling so powerfully before in that place. And as I approached the hospital, I grew nervous of what I was going to feel because I remember the pain of that day. It was the most excruciating pain I've ever felt. I didn't know you could hurt like that. And I wondered, what is it going to be like when we drive past those doors? But as we did, I was shocked. Because I could remember the pain, but I didn't feel the pain. As a matter of fact, I was shocked because as we drove past the doors, a smile crossed my face. And it wasn't pain that I felt. It was joy. Because you see, 7 years later, I've been able to experience my son. And the beauty of who he is. I've been able to see how God's used that in my life, in my family's life, how God's used that in the world around me. And so as we drove past the scene of what was probably the most painful moment in my life, I experienced joy. You see, the bigger story had transformed the moment. I no longer looked back at it as something that was devastating. I looked back at it as something that was wonderful, even though it was painful in the moment. I had seen what comes out of that moment. Our understanding of the greater story has an incredible ability to transform moments. This is exactly what's happened with the cross. Even for those who were crushed by it, and you think about the disciples, you think about those who were closest to Christ, you think about those who knew him best. They'd spent 3 years with him. No one had loved them like he did. They'd seen him change everything. They'd seen him literally take the limits off their world. They'd seen him reverse death. And then that day, they watched him beaten. They watched him humiliated. They watched him nailed to that cross. They watched the blood pour from his body. They heard him cry out in agony. They experienced a pain that I don't think it's possible to imagine. And yet, even for them, even for those who were literally crushed by that moment and by what happened on that cross, even for them, when they reflected back on the cross, they didn't do so in sorrow. No. They reflected back in celebration. Even for those who had experienced that incredible, excruciating pain of that moment, when they reflected back on it, when they wrote about it, when they shared it with those around them, they didn't share it with sorrow, they shared it with celebration. Why? Because they knew what would come from it. They knew that in that moment, he was saving the world. They knew that in that moment, he was making it possible for you. As Anthony said earlier, it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. He's making it possible for you to know God again, for you to be restored to God again, for you to be made new from the inside out, for you, as the scriptures say, to be made right with God without keeping the requirements of the law, for you to be forgiven. For the family to be able to come together, for us to be adopted as God's children. You see, they knew the bigger picture, and they'd experienced what came out of that moment, and it changed everything about how they saw it. It changed everything about how they talked about it. It changed everything about how they felt about that moment. Because you see, the bigger picture, the greater story, has an incredible ability to change a moment. Many of us have experienced this with Christ. For those of you who are exploring who Jesus is, Jesus wants to not just do this with the cross in your life, but he wants to do this over and over again in your life. And many of us have experienced this. We've seen him take really painful things in our life and use them in really great ways. We've seen him take brokenness and bring beauty out of it. We have moments that we look back on, like I look back on the birth of my son. We have moments like that in our life that we look back on and we realize, man, God, I can't believe how in the bigger picture, in the larger story, you transformed that moment. Many of us have experienced this. And typically, when we think about how God, the scriptures describe it this way, how he redeems things. In other words, this idea of redeeming, it's the idea of buying back. It means that something was intended for one purpose, and then he buys it back. He uses it for his own purpose. He accomplishes his own purpose through it. Typically, when we think about how God does that in our lives and how he can bring beauty out of what is broken, we think about it in terms of the past because that's how we've experienced it. We've seen how he's used things in the past and transformed them. But as we come together tonight on Good Friday, I want to challenge you to not just think about this in terms of the past, but to begin to think about it in terms of our present and also our future. Let me take you to a passage. It's found in 2 Corinthians. And in his second letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, he's trying to help them to understand a new mindset, a new way of looking at the life that they live. And he says this to them in 2 Corinthians, beginning in chapter 1, verse 3. It says this. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you." And he's talking through this, and as he's talking through this with them, what he's saying is this. He's saying, you remember how God has used these things in your past? Not just for your own good, but you remember how God has redeemed these things in your past for the good of those around you, Remember how God has done this with those painful moments in your past, how he's been able to bring beautiful things out of them. Remember how God has comforted you in them and how you look back at them differently, just like what we've been talking about? But then he moves on. He doesn't just say, you remember how he does that. He says, now I want for you to engage the present with that mindset. He says, understanding how God can do this in the past shouldn't just change how we view the past. It should change the present. And it should drastically change how we view the future. And he's saying to them, when you see how God can redeem these things, when you see how the bigger picture can transform the pain in our life, it should change the way that you experience pain today. It shouldn't just change the way you look back at the past. It should change the way that you experience it today. It should change the way that you step into it in the future. What he's saying is this. He's saying you don't have to be afraid in these moments. He's saying even in the midst of those of painful situations and circumstances, you can encounter them with incredible hope and anticipation. You can walk through them with incredible hope and anticipation because you know what God can do. And you know how he can transform this. You know how he can turn this around. And he's stepping into our lives and he's calling us to shift our perspective. So that when we encounter the pain that life brings to every single one of us, when we encounter the brokenness of the world around us, that we encounter it with hope and anticipation of what God's going to do with it. It doesn't mean that the pain, he's not diminishing the pain, he's not saying the pain doesn't matter, he's not saying it's going to hurt less. But what he is saying is this, in the midst of it, you don't have to wait for him to redeem it in order for you to celebrate it. So you can start celebrating when you're in the midst of it. You can start celebrating before you get to it. Because you know what he can do with it. Some of you right now are in the middle of one of those situations. Some of you, you walked in tonight. And you walked in pain. And you feel like the world's been turned upside down. He's stepping into your life and he's saying, you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait for God to transform it. For you to be able to experience the joy of what he's going to do. You can begin to experience that now. You can begin to experience that with him now because you know what he's done in the past. And you know that he'll be faithful to do it in the future. You know that God doesn't waste a single pain. You know how God can take the darkest of moments and turn them into the most glorious. You know how he can do that. Don't wait to see the end before you begin to celebrate. Celebrate even in the midst of it. And you say, how in the world do I do that? How in the world do we do that? You don't do it by telling yourself that it's going to be okay. You don't. You do it exactly the way he's calling them to do it inside that passage. Because he doesn't start off and just say, hey, listen, I want for you to be excited about what God's going to do with what you're going through. He doesn't start off that way, does he? He starts off and he says, I want for you to remember how he's done it before. I want for you to remember how God comforts us. I want for you to remember how he's done this previously. You see, if we're going to have the mindset where we're able to encounter those dark moments in life, if we're going to have the mindset, we're going to be able to encounter the brokenness of the world around us, but to be able to encounter it with anticipation, where we'll be able to encounter it with confidence and hope rather than being overcome by it. If we're going to be able to encounter those moments and to be able to celebrate what God's going to do, even though we haven't seen it yet, it won't be because we tell ourselves it's going to be okay. It will be because we constantly call ourselves back to remembering how he's done it before. See, that's what Good Friday is all about. It's remembering how he's done it before. And the more you remember how he's done it before, the more confidence you'll have in the moment that he's going to do it again. This is why God calls us to communion of the Lord's Supper. It's a remembrance over and over and over again of how he's done it before. It's a remembrance over and over and over again of how God took the cross and out of the cross made it possible for us to be united with him. And we remember it week after week after week. For those of you who don't know, the Lord's Supper is what you see on the tables that are at each of the columns. And every week we have this set up with the bread and the cup. And the bread represents the body of Christ that was broken on that cross. And the cup represents his blood that was shed for us. It's a remembrance. It's something that we remember time after time after time after time so that we don't forget both what he did for us and so that we don't forget how he can take the darkest of moments and tell the glorious of stories. But we have to remember to over and over and over again remember how he's done it before. We have to share it with each other. This is why we talk about community all the time here at Hoboken Grace, and why we talk about dinner groups and being inside of a dinner group. Because you don't just need to see how he's done it in your life. You need to see how he's done it in the lives of the people around you. Sometimes when you're in the midst of one of those circumstances or situations, you can't even remember that he's ever done it before. Have you ever been there where the pain is so great that you look back on your life and you know it's not true, but you're talking to someone and you're looking back on your life and you say, God's never done anything for me. Because the pain of the moment is so intense. And in those moments, we need to be able to hear how he's done it for the people around us. Because it builds our confidence that he'll be faithful to do it for us as well. And to be in community where we can share those things with one another. We can tell those stories. God wants for you to be able to live a life where you can step into whatever it is that life brings you. For you to be able to step into it, not afraid of what's around the corner, but knowing that whatever's around the corner, whatever it is, he has the ability to do amazing things with it. And I don't have to be afraid anymore. Because I've seen how he's done it before. And I know that he'll do it again. This past year, there was a story or a song that emerged from our community. It was written by our team. It goes like this. It says, I ask you, what's your will? and in the waiting, I'll praise you still. You've already given more than I can ask for, and you'll do it again like you've done it before. Faithful, constant, never-changing God, ever-present Father, holder of my heart. Time moves, silence builds, but in the quiet, I'll praise you still. If you don't answer, bring peace to my soul. Do it again like you've done it before. Will you do it again like you've done it before? I've seen what you've done, but God, I forget. I'm waiting with you. Your love on the cross is why I can trust that you are enough. You guide me though I stumble through, and in the journey make me more like you. You came for us, and our hope will remain that you'll do it again like you've done it before. One day you'll do it again like you've done it before. Will you bow your head with me? I want to invite you tonight, as we come together to remember the cross, I want to invite you to remember how God's done this in your life. To think back to a moment where God's taken what you thought was going to crush you, and he's turned it into something beautiful and wonderful. To remember that and to allow it to shape not just how you think about that moment, but to shape how you engage this moment, how you think about what's ahead. To begin to develop in you a confidence, an unwavering confidence that not only can he, but he will do it again like he's done it before. For those of you who are in the middle of one of those situations and circumstances, come back to the cross. Come back to the cross and remember what he did and what he made possible through that moment. Allow it to build in you a hope about what it is that you're experiencing right now. Father, we want to have a mindset that not only engages the past, in light of what you've done, but a mindset that engages the present and the future, in light of how you have over and over and over again demonstrated your faithfulness to use the brokenness and the pain in our lives and the world around us to do remarkable and beautiful things. Father, I pray that tonight as we come to the cross and we look at what you did, I pray that it would give us tremendous hope. I pray that it would develop in us the ability to engage all that might come our way with expectation and anticipation of what it is that you'll do. Because we know that you'll do it again like you've done it before.